and execute his God-given duty, which is to create all these different forms. And this is his duty, to please the Lord. And by pleasing the Lord, he is qualified now to have this fantastic spiritual realization, which we're all hankering for and working for here, being in the Krishna Conscious Movement, to try to understand, you know, what my service is to the Lord, and so that I can eternally be indebted to him. Unfortunately, we're not like Lord Brahma. We were born in total ignorance. And maybe some of us have, in many lifetimes here, have created maybe some tiddlywinks. Does anybody know what tiddlywinks are? Nobody knows what tiddlywinks are, boy. Oh, you do, okay. All they are just little plastic discs. You get a box of them. It's like a no-brainer game. You take one and you push on the end and you try to get it into a cup. That's it. It's still being played. They have tournaments, I heard, in England still. Anyway, it's like a no-brainer. And so we think, oh, I've created something. You know, I've created this. But actually, we become so attached to this, to the result of our creations, which are just as good as tiddlywinks compared to what Lord Brahma's about to do. And of course, our ego gets inflated so much so that, you know, just like Dr. Frog, we burst. And we think that, oh, I'm God's gift to this planet because I can create so many things. If I get really far out there, the last snare is that, oh, I am God. So this is a problem that we've had. But Lord Brahma, he admits here that I'm given all these abilities, and you know, I'm so proud of it. But you, Lord Krishna, you're the cause of me. You're the cause of all causes. And you come here, but you don't get contaminated. You have no influences from the material world. And so you are, and you're not even attached to them. You can just leave. So this is his really understanding, a proper understanding of his position and of the Lord's position. So it's definitely true that four heads are better than one, especially when we have a big fat head on our shoulders and we still don't get it, that we are the servant of the servant of the servant. So we have to give credit where credit is due. And this is what Lord Brahma is doing here. He says, you are the supreme. When I first came to the movement, a book had just come out, and that was the Sri Upanishad. I guess Krishna knew I really needed to get rid of some of my impersonalism. And so I immediately read Sri Upanishad, which was pretty amazing, because this also, it completely describes what our position is, that we are the servant of the servant. But it puts Krishna in his place, that he is the supreme. And he has many forms, he has many expansions, and he has this Brahman effulgence, like it's describing here, the Brahmajyoti, which I was thinking I was part of. You know, I was, you know, going to float around forever. But it is such a nice description of our position in relation to Lord Krishna. And this is one of the mantras that very powerful. O my Lord, O primeval philosopher, maintainer of the universe, O regulating principle, destination of the pure devotees, well-wisher of the progenitors of mankind, please remove the effulgence of your transcendental rays so that I can see your form of bliss. You are the eternal supreme personality of Godhead, like unto the sun, as I am. So here in this purport, it describes how Lord Brahma, after his realization of these different forms, and he ultimately sees the beautiful form of Lord Krishna, which we've been reading about with the peacock feather and the flute. So there's only one supreme, there's no second. I think one of the transliterations was about the second, but there is no second. Krishna is in charge. He's definitely in charge. Sometimes I hear from some authorities, I'm in charge, I'm in charge, I'm in charge. I hear it repeatedly, I'm in charge. And I'm thinking, whoa, that's just like a setup for someone to get a big spanking. Because we might be given some little responsibility to be in charge of something, but ultimately, Krishna is in charge. We're simply trying to execute a little bit of control. But ultimately, we can't forget who's in charge and who's the controller of everything. This is how we have to be trained in this Krishna consciousness, so that our consciousness can be very healthy, always thinking that, yes, I'm simply a servant around here. Dronacharya, he trained the Pandavas and the Kurus, and at one point he brought Duryodhan and Yudhisthira together and gave them a little pop quiz and said, I want you to go out there, and I want you to find someone who is greater than you and someone who is lesser than you. And they both went out, and when they came back with their answers. And Duryodhan said, I couldn't find anyone better than me. Everyone's lower than me. But King Yudhisthira was saying, I couldn't find anyone who was lower than myself. Everyone is greater than me. So this is our choice also, you know, what kind of mentality we want. That we should always be thinking there's always someone better. I'm sure if we went around in the room here right now, we could all say something grandiose about every single person in this room of how they're so much better than myself. So this is just a sample of our big fat head. And some people even have the audacity to sit down and think that they can figure it all out, figure out the absolute truth, who they are, who God is, everything. The Lord Brahma, he sat down, but he got off his seat and goes, I'm in darkness, I'm in illusion, I got to go find out what's going on. He, you know, went down to look. He needed help, and this is a little bit of humility that we need, is to realize that we do need help. But that little spark of his sincerity and that need of help, he was able to get, ultimately, the darshan of Lord Krishna face to face. This expression of help is there in many of the songs of the great Vaishnavas and Acharyas, who are trying to train us by their humility and making many songs, such as these couple of verses that we sing often in bhajans. Alone, I find I have no strength to chant the holy name of Lord Hari. I beg you, therefore, please be merciful, and with a particle of faith, give me the great treasure of the holy name of Krishna. So he's praying to his spiritual master. Krishna is yours. You have the power to give him to me, for such is your power. I am indeed wretched and simply run after you, crying, Krishna, Krishna. O Gopinath, everywhere, everything here is your illusory energy. I have no strength or transcendental knowledge, and this body of mine is not independent, being controlled by material nature. O Gopinath, you are able to do anything, and therefore you have the power to deliver all sinners. Who is there that is more of a sinner than myself? O Gopinath, you are the ocean of mercy. Having come into this phenomenal world, you expand your divine pastimes for the sake of the fallen souls. So it's actually mercy that the Lord has descended, and especially in the deity form, and given us the spiritual master, which is essential. And making some advancement on this spiritual path, which we've volunteered to be on for the rest of this lifetime. But some people get stuck. They get stuck because they don't accept the spiritual master. And then they have these conceptions of God. If you go down, you know, 441, usually they have in front of some of the churches, which we have so many around here, they conclude their concept of God. God is love. Sounds good. God is love. But when you think about it, no one's really dissatisfied with that, because love requires, first of all, it requires a relationship, and relationship requires a lot of work. It's usually a lot of disappointments and dissatisfaction. So therefore, it sounds good, but the concept of, having to love God, is this a secure site or not? You know, or am I going to be let down? And then some people get stuck on that, like I was, that God is light. You know, we're all just part of this light, which is, you know, doesn't take much to figure something out like that. But then when you think about it, how boring. Who wants to be a piece of light? You know, no creativity, as it's described here, Brahma Jyoti. Lord Brahma says, there's nothing going on there, you know? And there's no variety. To me, it sounds very scary to do nothing all day, except be brilliant. I don't know, anyway. And then there's the concept of God is energy, which is a pretty safe conception. But what kind of energy? What do you do with this energy? You just, you know, throw it in between your hands, or is it tangible? You know, it's hard to get your mind around that. What is energy? So, destination unknown. You're going to go to energy, who knows where. And then the easiest, simplest thing is that God is nature. Yes, look around you, how awesome nature is, how beautiful nature is, wherever you look, so awesome. So it's very easy to say that, yes, God is nature. And we do say that you can experience God in nature. But how about God as volcanoes, tornadoes, earthquakes, killing millions of people in 1 second? God has this bad side too. Anyway, these conceptions are not satisfying because they're not complete, and because they're not given from the descending order. They're simply from the ascending order. So therefore, we appreciate their realizations because they're appreciating that there is a supreme person or a supreme force. But fortunately, we have the best of spiritual masters. We have the greatest descending process from our Brahma Sampradaya, as we're hearing now, so that we can actually understand the most wonderful form of the Supreme Lord, which we get to look at every day, and to worship and to learn how to surrender to. Because real advancement on the spiritual path requires surrender, because from surrender you get knowledge. It's given to you. The spiritual master, of course, when you accept the spiritual master, he's expecting you to take vows. And this is a surrender. I mean, you really have to think about it, that I'm going to take these vows. I'm going to give up a lot. And this is a symptom of surrender, that you're going to do things that you don't want to do and can't do things that you really want to do. So this is your first step in surrender. And then to keep those vows. Kali Yuga, it's really difficult to keep those vows. That means that there's no excuses. You can't come up with any excuses. You can't adjust things. Oh, maybe that one, it's a little, we're deep into Kali Yuga, we'll just cut that one a little short. No, as it is, the way Prabhupada gives it, the way your spiritual master gives it, that's the way you have to surrender and to accept that platform. And so we have a little bit of a special pampering from the Lord, because we are in Kali Yuga, and that is that he's descended as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, that he's going to help us. He's going to really give us some help, since we need it so badly. And we can remember that Lord Chaitanya appeared in his childhood. He was in disguise. He was a rascal like other little kids. But the whole, you know, all his friends and everything were just mesmerized by him, because he was such a cute rascal. His beauty was conquering the whole village and everybody. He did perform some miracles, which, you know, tantalized everyone's mental capacity. Well, who is this person? How wonderful he is. And then later he became a scholar, and he gathered thousands of disciples. followers, very faithful ones, even though he was not executing devotion, not accepting this bhakti mood. But they were very faithful to him because they could understand his elevation consciousness. And then, of course, he went to Gaya and came back in the bhakti mood. And he bewildered many people by his devotional activities, except for those who really knew him, although they were a little astounded also. But here in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it echoes this, what it's saying in this purport. It said, Sri Chaitanya is always performing his pastimes in Navadvipa, but they are not visible to every eye. At this time, the ordinary people of Navadvipa continue to see the Lord as Nimai Pandit. Any change in the Lord's activities or character was imperceptible to them. However, the merciful Lord reveals himself to the fortunate devotees according to their realizations in devotional service. He hides himself to the outside world of materialists. So here also Prabhupada is describing how the spiritual master can reveal so many things by your acceptance of sacrifice and according to your relationship with the Lord. And so Lord Chaitanya was very kind, and he actually demonstrated this in a wonderful pastime in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which describes how that Lord Nityananda had just appeared in Navadvipa, and he was staying at Srivas Thakur's house, who was very accommodating to both Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And soon there became a big congregation coming in the evenings and relishing the association of the two lords. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya, at this time, of course, he was in the bhakti mood, he would sit down on Krishna's throne in Srivas Thakur's house just for a few minutes, and everyone would say, I'm he, and everyone would be like, oh, you know, be bewildered. But one time he sat down on the throne, and he sat there for 21 hours sitting on the Lord's throne. And he called Srivas Thakur, and he said, bring your whole family, bring your servants, bring everyone, and come here and worship me. Get all the paraphernalia for an abhishek. And so Srivas Thakur was all excited. Even a servant, one servant who was always very kind of sad, some little girl was kind of sad, and her name was Duki. And at that time, she was so excited, oh, I get to do service. So Lord Chaitanya saw her enthusiasm and called her Suki, happy. And so they gathered all the stuff and had a big abhishek, and it describes how they all distributed with the water from the lotus feet and how they fought for it and threw it on each other and gulped it down and everything else. And then they would have big kirtan. And then Lord Chaitanya would call out to different devotees and give them benedictions and boons. And so he called out said, where is Sridhar? And Kolavecha Sridhar, where is my best devotee Sridhar? And they go, well, he's not here. And they go find him. And so one devotee goes out into the village, knowing where he could hear the crying of devotion from Sridhar from long way away. And so he knew where to go. And I can believe that, because there's one devotee here in this community that when he chants here at the temple, I can hear him at my house, which is 3/4 of a mile from here on the farm, but I can hear him. So it's definitely true. With a lot of devotion and enthusiasm, you can be heard from a long distance. And Sridhar definitely had that devotion, because Lord Chaitanya is beckoning him to come get his association. And when he came, he glorified Sridhar, saying how humble and how wonderful he was, that he was so generous with his goods. And then he said, okay, Sridhar, now you speak something. And he was like dumbfounded, you know, what am I going to say? And he wasn't a scholarly type person or, you know, that type person. And then he said, okay. And he gifted Mother Saraswati to be on his tongue. And Sridhar began to speak so nicely, beautifully about the Lord Chaitanya. And then afterwards, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased and said, So, I can give you boom, whatever you want. I can give you 8 mystic perfections. And Sridhar goes, no, I don't want this. And he says, well, what do you want? Tell me something you want. He says, I just want for that rascal Brahmin boy, Nimai Pandit, to come to my banana selling station and steal from me and harass me and give me problems. That's all I really want. And so everyone goes, joy, and he goes, so be it. And Kirtan would go on, and then they had Artik, Kibajayo, you can just picture him on now, everyone with the chamros and everything, everyone dancing in ecstasy. Do we have a picture of that? I don't have a picture of that. And so then he said, where is Haridas? And so Haridas came forward, and he was saying the glories. He just began to expound the glories of Haridas Thakur. At that time, all the demigods started appearing. Although people couldn't see him, they all came down to hear the glories of Haridas and to have the association with this whole scene of devotees. And then he reminded Haridas, he says, remember when that magistrate sent the servants to beat you? He says, you look on my back. You didn't experience pain because I took it on my back, the lashes on my back. And Haridas Thakur, of course, probably fainted or rolled on the ground or something like that. And then he said, but then you had so much compassion for these people that were beating you. I called for my Sudarshan, and Sudarshan Chakra came, and I was going to do in these men, but my Sudarshan wouldn't do it because you're so compassionate, it would not even have the potency to work on it. And so he continued to say that, please, take a boon. You are Prahlad, you are Lord Brahma. Please, take a boon. And then Haridas Thakur said, all I want is to take the remnants of your devotees' food. So this, you can see his humility. Because Lord Chaitanya and the Lord, he sees what our mood is, what our service is, our real service is, and reveals in that way. Just like when he called out for Murari Gupta, he said, just see, and he changed into a form of Lord Ram. And he just said, see, I am your Lord Ram, and you are Hanuman. And he said, take a boon, benediction for me. And he said, I just don't want to deviate from serving you eternally. So this is the quality of that Lord Chaitanya is interested in, and that the Lord is interested in, and so that he feels, yes, I should reveal myself to him. And then Advaita Acharya called for Advaita Acharya, and Lord Chaitanya reminded him that when Advaita Acharya was expounding different the meanings of verses, that sometimes he would get stumped, and Lord Chaitanya would, although he wasn't there because he hadn't appeared yet, but he would help him. And he could remember one time when he couldn't figure out what to say, an explanation of a certain text. And he said, I can't speak on this. I'm just going to fast until it's revealed to me what this really means. And Lord Chaitanya reminded him of that and said, I remember you fasting, and you're like myself, so I was fasting also. And so I came to you in a dream, and I helped you with the explanation of that verse. And he quoted the text and the date of when he did that. And of course, Advaita Acharya was just like, total ecstasy that he had actually helped him with that. And then Lord Chaitanya said, and there was one verse I never told you what it meant. And then he explained it. And Advaita was, completely shocked. And then he said, so, what benediction can I give you, Advaita Acharya? And Advaita Acharya said, just show the mercy to all the fallen souls. And so, therefore, we were so fortunate that Prabhupada has delivered that benediction to us. But there was one person that Lord Chaitanya didn't call. And so Srivas Thakur says, what about Mukunda? Your singer, the one that loves you so much, that sings so beautifully and everything. And he says, no, I will not see that offender. I will not give him anything. He's been offensive. Because he's a wonderful devotee. You know, he's always with you. He's always singing. Yes, but he goes to other philosophies. He goes to other places, and he agrees with them, and he sings for them. And he's just a pretend Vaishnav. I don't want to see him. And meanwhile, Mukunda was sitting in the back, and he could hear this. And he goes, I'll never get to see my Lord. I'll never have darshan. He goes, just ask Lord Chaitanya, Shiva, go ask him if I'll ever get to see him. And Srivas Thakur was pretty amazed at Lord Chaitanya's, you know, stubbornness about this. And he says, he's asking when he'll get to see him. He says, 10 million births, then he'll get to see me. He'll have my darshan. And he went back and told Mukunda, and Mukunda was, oh, just 10 million verses, how wonderful, how merciful he is. Oh, just 10 million verses. And he was laughing and crying, and Lord Chaitanya could hear him. And then he called for him, bring Mukunda. And he says, I'm so pleased with you. He goes, I'll erase all your offenses, and that you will always be by my side, and that I will... I will always be on your tongue, and so you can be chanting beautiful things. So these are some of the activities of Lord Chaitanya and how he revealed himself to the sincere devotees. There was a big feast, and at the very end, to just show his real causeless mercy, he distributed his remnants to one little girl, Narayani, who got the most benediction, although not qualified, not really, you know, showing any exhibitions of love of Godhead. But as soon as she was touched by Lord Chaitanya's prasadam, she was crying in ecstasy. So this is how we should appreciate the causeless mercy of Srila Prabhupada and of Lord Chaitanya and of Lord Nityananda, who opened up the marketplace. Lord Nityananda gave the holy name for free. Well, you have to have some faith, but very, very merciful that we can put this into practice very easily in Kali Yuga, that we can have Krishna's association, and this will help us develop that that attitude that the Lord likes to see, that he's influenced by, and to also develop that begging mood, especially that calling out of the Lord's name and needing help. We can't think that we can just chant our japa every day for so many decades without help, every day, begging for help to try to fix our mind on the Supreme Lord and to get over our contaminated influences of impersonalism that is so heavy here in Kali Yuga. And so one of the last verses of the Ishapanishad is a very nice prayer. Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes, and let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, O my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. So by Prabhupada's grace, we're able to do a little bit of service in this lifetime, hopefully better than just making tiddlywinks, and that we can please Prabhupada in some way by giving Krishna to others, just like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda did, and Haridas Thakur and all the great Vaishnavas in our line. So then maybe Krishna will have mercy on us, and we'll get to shake Krishna's hand or get to see him. And of course, the deity worship is so important. This is practice coming from the deities and trying to express our attitude of service, of enthusiasm for service. So anyone have any comments, questions? Where did that go?
Thank you for reminding us of that wonderful Mahaprakash Leela. But there is one individual who Lord Chaitanya said he came as the boatman. Which one?
What was his name? Ganga Das Pandit. Yeah, he said, remember you had that trouble, and then they had to escape from the Muslim influence that was happening, and they left, I think, in the middle of the night. There was nobody on the Ganga, and finally there was all of a sudden this little person that had a boat and took him across, and that was Lord Chaitanya appearing. And so when he heard that, he was like, oh my gosh. And he swooned in ecstasy also.
And what boon did he ask?
I could look it up.
Oh, have it there?
Yeah.
Oh, thank
give
you.
Give me a second.
I think it's significant that note that all the boons they request are
pretty impressive.
Selfless and devotional.
I don't know. You'll have to look it up. It's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat right around here somewhere. But most everyone has very terrible now. Benedictions put on them. They really are very, very humble in their requests. As ourselves, who knows, we might give them a long bucket list of things to do. You'll have to look it up. I don't want to waste people's time. But we can learn a lot from that pastime. Yes?
So we see that here Mahaprabhu showed that how he was the one who was taking care of whatever problems they had, even with like Ganga Das Pandit, you know, material things, but here he's showing. So as practicing Vaishnavas, is it better for us to see in our lives whatever little thing is happening, that this is Krishna directly involved in there? Is it all right for us to think that way, or is it being presumptuous of us to think that, Krishna is
like
coming?
We read, I think it's this morning somewhere, that the two important things are to always remember Krishna, never forget him. Mm-hmm. So if it helps you remember him, then that's Krishna's mercy, you know. So yeah, but even the material things, just like the other day I was working over here and something got in my eye and I rubbed it and I ended up 3 hours waiting to get something pulled out of my eye on Sunday because it was a bug that had implanted something in my eye. And when I found out it was something poking me like that, I couldn't sleep all night and everything. I was thinking this is probably because I poked the deities with a pin or something, So, we can see the Lord intervening in our lives. That's good. And all day long, we can be Krishna conscious. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Queen Kunti is praying for that kind of stuff to happen all the time, but that's okay. That's her level. Okay, here's a question now.
I just wanted to say just about Kola Vecha, Sridhar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not going that often to his Marhat. But when he was going, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew very well that his house roof has holes and he has barely a pot in his house, not much accessories, nothing. He was selling only some bananas or banana leaves. Leaf cups and something like that. But still, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deliberately, he was harassing him, saying that, oh, Kalavicha, you have this much opulence, you should give me this much. You have that much opulence, you should give me that much. So that means it was the rasa between Kolabecha and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that he's a very advanced devotee. Early 90s, I went with some senior devotees to see Puri Maharaj in Vrindavan. The many ISKCON devotees, they went to ask certain questions. So, there was question just that we know that lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way by which we can obtain pure devotional service. But the question was just, you know, whether the spiritual master says whatever. They were asking the question. Many devotees were asking many questions. Whether it is absolute or not. And Puri Maharaj was very clear and very firm. He said, whatever your spiritual master says, whatever he does, whatever he has written, it is absolute. There is no change whatsoever. It's because evam parampara praptam. This is how we receive through parampara system. Whatever spiritual master says, that is 100% absolute. There is no change whatsoever. Period.
Jai. You should take that as our life and soul.
Yes.
Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.